Puls.
Ehrengäste.
Wir feiern Sie seit Jahren. Wir freuen uns sehr, dass Sie mal wieder vorbeigeschaut hat. Mørs, Dänemark. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
So good to have you here.
I'm excited to be here.
Your new album, Forever Neverland, is coming out next week.
Yes.
4 years after your first album.
I know, yeah.
You describe your feelings about this release with the Edvard Munch scream emoji on Instagram.
Yeah.
But I was thinking...
I love that emoji.
Yeah, I love it. I overuse it as well. I was wondering, though, what do you really have to worry about? It's really good.
Oh, thank you. You've
worked hard on it. Mm. Your fans are going to love it.
Hopefully.
Why are you nervous about it?
I think it's just, you know, again, it's been 4.5 years since my last one. And even though I'm really happy about this album, I think it's just, you know, it feels like it's just a big moment, you know, and it's a new chapter in a way. And I think, you know, it's always a bit scary when something big like that means so much to you happens, you know. So I think that's why. I'm just like, you know. But it's also, I will say, I mean, I'm nervous, but I'm also extremely excited. So it's like a combined feeling.
So you're not worried what people are going to say or think? Like, because I've listened to it and it's something I think that Mo fans will love. But
yeah,
I think that people that haven't heard her music will also really like. So are you nervous about the reaction in some ways?
I mean, of course I am. But it's like, you know, I think there'll always be someone that likes it and someone who doesn't like it. And I mean, at least I'm just very happy that I feel like I'm being myself. You know, I'm truth to myself on this album. So, you know, it's okay. I mean, of course, I'm not going to like it if people are like, oh, we hate this shit, you know. But I mean, that's life. I'm just happy that I'm happy. And I feel like I hope it's going to connect.
The album title, Forever Neverland, there's two possible references. There's Neverland, the fictional land where Peter Pan lives and never has to grow up.
Yep.
And then there's the Michael Jackson Neverland Ranch reference.
Where
he used to live.
Yeah.
His big kind of... So that's not what you were going for.
Well, the thing is, though, they're both the same thing, kind of. It's this thing of, like, this glorification of youth and like the fear of becoming an adult and, you know, in a way seeing reality in its clear light, you know, like, so. And I think with this album, it is kind of like a reference also to Los Angeles, actually, because I've been going back and forth Los Angeles and Denmark, and Los Angeles feels to me like this strange but beautiful place that's kind of like a real life Neverland, you know.
Because people never grow up or behave like adults?
I mean, a little bit, but not like in a negative way, but more like, you know, it's a city filled with this like energy and lights and like youthful kind of like, you know, and as you say, everybody's there like searching for something. So many actors and aspiring musicians and artists. And so... It's its own bubble. Los Angeles is its own bubble. And I find it super intriguing, but also a bit scary, of course.
And the contrast between going back to Denmark and LA, I guess that's
so
kind
big,
of...
Such a big contrast.
Is it still like every time you go back between those places, how do you feel when you come back from Denmark to LA, and how do you feel when you come back to Denmark from Los Angeles?
Yeah, see, I mean, every time I go to Los Angeles, I'm like, oh, so nice. I'm so happy I'm here. But then after 3 weeks, I'm like, oh, I need to go home. Like, I need to go home back to real life. You know, it's like, I'm in my bubble here. It's like, oh, you need to go. And then I go to Denmark and I'm like, oh, this is so nice. But then I'm there for 3 weeks. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get out of here. You know, so it's, you know, I haven't made up my mind about anything.
Okay, good. So you're still searching.
Yes.
On Instagram, you were posting little handwritten notes about each of the songs on the album. And about the song Nostalgia that's on the record, you wrote that you miss being a kid.
Yeah, I do sometimes.
Yeah.
Only sometimes, though.
Okay, what do you miss about being a kid?
Well, actually, I think I wrote that in the note, like that feeling of just like complete comfort. And like, the world is completely open and exciting because you don't know any better. You don't know anything. You're just like, you know, and that's a nice feeling, of course.
But it's also
how I remember it, at least. So
no, I remember it as well. Where you just don't have the horizon yet to know.
Yeah, it's just so exciting. It's like, wow, what's gonna happen? Woo, you know.
There's the nostalgia thing is a big thing on the album.
I guess so. Yeah.
On the last song, "Purple Like the Summer Rain," there's a line about that kind of thing as well, where you can talk about just being younger.
Yeah.
Is that something you think about on a daily basis, or was that the topic that was just on this album that was relevant?
Yeah, I think it's not necessary. I mean, I do think about it every once in a while, especially because writing this album, I've been like in the end of my 20s, you know, so it's always that thing of like, what's next? You know, what's going to happen? But I think I tend to, in my songwriting, I like to refer back to the past because I find a lot of inspiration in the longing for the past, or even in the longing for something in the future. Just in general, I think that's a nice feeling to reference when you write.
I definitely get the sense of longing on this album, like for another time, for another person,
for new
experiences as well, which to me is really interesting because your life must have been really hectic in the last few years.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, like, before I listened to it, I wouldn't have been surprised if there were more songs where it's about, I'm really tired.
Right.
Leave me alone. I don't really want to deal with anything.
Yeah.
But instead it's like, yes, I want more. I want more of this. I want new people. I want this person.
Yeah.
I want everything like around me. I find that really interesting.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because I truly, like, these past couple of four years, like, have been very tired. And I have been traveling so much. But I think I don't find that super inspiring to write about. Because you're always like, that's just a feeling you kind of want to just get it over with. Like, you want to think about either like glorifying something from the past, or like thinking about, oh, I'm dreaming about all these things, and you know. So yeah, but I mean, I think in some of the songs though, I feel like I have been kind of describing a little bit how I feel, like just about the feeling of maybe feeling like a little worn out, like just tired, and like you're longing for a better time or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
like, it kind of goes hand in hand, I guess, like, because it's classic, if you're like overworked, you'll think about what you would like instead, you know?
Or also, you just kind of, you get really numb, and you're like, you can't really think about anything. You're just like super, just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like on autopilot.
Totally.
And I guess for someone who works in the creative industry, is that kind of phase is really, really dangerous.
Because yeah, I hate that phase. I can't, like, I don't want to just, as you say, go on autopilot, because I don't think you're going to make good music if you do that. And that was also, I think, with this album, one of the struggles that I was like, I didn't want to end up in a situation where I just did some random songs just because I needed an album done, you know. Yeah. I think that's why it took so long, because I wanted all song to feel like it was present and it was like good, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be better. I don't want to just be like, you know, whatever, you know.
I always find this interesting, like in what sort of times, what sort of time span the songs became written. Like, are they really old, like from 2015, or did they all kind of come together in the same period of time?
I think the oldest song on this album is not more than 2 years old. I released an EP last year called When I Was Young, and on that one there were some older songs. It was like kind of a little like
collection, right?
Yeah, exactly, a little collection of what I've been up to. But this album, yeah, the oldest one is 2 years old.
Okay. On this album, you have guest appearances from Diplo and Charlie XCX, two of your really good friends and collaborators. But there are also two people that our listeners might not know a lot about.
Right.
Empress Of.
Yeah.
She's a singer from LA. She's on Red Wine.
Song.
And then there's a guy called What's So Not.
Yeah.
He's on Mercy.
Yes.
Which is kind of more of a ballad song.
He's been producing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's a producer on that song. How did you meet those guys, and what do they bring to the songs that they're on?
All four? No, you mean the two one?
Empress Off.
Well, Empress Off, I've known since 2013.
All right.
We both came out around the same time, and we both, when we started out, we both had this kind of like indie, up and coming indie electro pop kind of sound. And so I met her for the first time on South by Southwest in 13, and then we kind of like just been like following each other and like meeting each other here and there ever since. And we were working together on a song also at some point, but it never really happened. But then with this one, it did happen. So I've kind of, you know, have followed her career, and we know each other. And I think she's super awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
In so many ways. So I'm really happy to have her on the album. And actually, What's So Not, I met him when I was in Australia. He's originally from Australia. And he played the song for me. And I just really loved the early, what do you say, draft of the song Mercy. And that's how we started working.
Yeah, that's a really, really good song. I think that's one of the quieter ones.
It's quieter, yeah.
But also quite dramatic.
It's a power ballad.
Yes.
It's what I would call it.
I saw you play live. It must have been 4 years ago in Munich in a small club. It was a small setup. I think it was you, I don't know how big the size of your band was at the time. I think it was like you and two other people, maybe.
Yeah.
And you did.
When was this? What year?
That was 2014.
Okay, yeah, that's probably only two people.
Yeah.
Besides
yeah,
me.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were really energetic. You really went for it. You did a Spice yeah. Girls cover. It was really right. fun. How do you feel about performing live now as opposed to back then, like 2013, 14?
I mean, well, I have a bigger setup now, you know, and I guess, you know, I'm more experienced now. But honestly, I still get as nervous as I would get back then, you know. Like, I think I always, I really want to be free when I perform, and I really want to connect with the audience. And there's always this kind of like fear. But I think actually this fear of performing and of the fear of being in front of an audience makes me into a better performer. Because then there's something, it matters, you know. It's like, you know, it's life or death.
Yeah. How do you react when you notice you start playing and then you've noticed something's not working? Something's not on. I don't feel right. like I'm really here.
Yeah.
I don't feel like they're really here.
Put on my poker face.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to do. I mean, if you know what I mean,
yeah.
I'm like trying to convince myself that it's going to be fine. You know, we're going to fight through this.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it, you know. But also, I mean, again, like, because I mean, you know, sometimes there will be situations like this, but then it's like just in your head. You just got to get out of it, you know.
Yeah. But sometimes what's in your head feels really real.
And that's like, true. Yeah. I'm aiming to that. Yeah. But you know, you cannot, if you're like in front of an audience, you cannot, just because I'm having a day where I'm in my head, like that can't, that shouldn't, that cannot hurt them, you know, like, so that's what I mean when I say poker face. I have to just pull through and hope that the feeling disappears.
One of the most iconic pop moments of the last 5 years was when you, Alma, Charlie XCX, Zara Larsson, you backed Dua Lipa at the BBC Live Lounge. Have you guys been in touch since that happened? I mean, that blew up, like loads of views. It's a really, really fun version. It looked like you were enjoying it.
It was really fun.
Yeah. Are you still in touch then? Is there a WhatsApp group?
Yeah, we had this after the event. We were like all connected on a thread, and we're just sending pictures back and forth and stuff. And I mean, I'm, you know, I know all of them, and like we're like friends.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, we haven't been on that group for a while. But I mean, maybe I should write something to that thread today.
Yeah, kick it off again.
What's up, girls?
Yeah. A lot of people would like to see like a real group as well,
right?
Like a super group. I don't know if that's ever been.
I know it's topic. Something that people are talking a lot about these days. I feel like
it would be. I don't know. I speak for myself. It would be really fun.
I would love it too. I think probably the only bigger issue with that is that everybody's so busy, so it's hard to find the time to really do this for real. Because I feel like if we did that, it would be like all in or nothing, you know?
Or maybe just like a three-song EP.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know, recorded via...
That's true.
You could do it remotely, but it would be more fun if you were all together.
No, I know what you mean. Okay, you're actually right. But still, it would take some time. It would take out some time because these songs would have to be really fucking great, you know. Yeah. But you're right. It's totally possible. I mean, maybe that's what I should write them when I text them in the thread. Like, should we just do it?
Yes.
Guys.
And that's where it all began, listeners. Thank you so much. On Instagram, I saw that you posted, you said that you lost a game of Guess a 90s Song.
Yes.
First of all, how can I play this game? And
which song
were you unable to guess?
Okay. I mean, I guess, well, we just need someone to play us 90s songs, and then we need to have a buzzer so we can be like, I know it, you know, like.
Okay.
So, because that was how I lost. And the song that I lost to was the one, oh God, it's the one that it starts with like a rubber toy. Like it's the, oh my God, I don't remember the name of it. Oh God, oh man, I don't remember it. But okay. It's like this, it's actually a Danish girl and it's from the very early 90s. And I don't remember her name. Damn it.
That's why you lost, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You see, that's why. But it sucked. We were like 3-3. Like I had guessed three songs and he had guessed three songs. But then the final one, I lost. Because I didn't know this rubber thing. Rubber duck. Yeah.
Is that something you play a lot? Like with your tour mates or friends?
No, but I want to play it more.
It sounds awesome.
It's so fun.
Well, Mo, thank you so much. Your album's coming out next week. I wish you all the best with it. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you very much.
Wenn euch dieser Podcast gefallen hat, dann gefällt euch vielleicht auch
das. Ja.
Okay.
Lass uns reden über Hip-Hop.
Yes. Schacht und Wasabi. Der Deutschrap-Podcast.